This is the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a Jewish leader. He came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could do these miraculous signs you do unless God was with him." And Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless somebody is born anew, it's not possible to see God's kingdom." Nicodemus asked, "How is it possible for an adult to be born? It's impossible to enter the mother's womb for a second time and be born, isn't it?" And Jesus answered, "I assure you, unless somebody is born of water and of the Spirit, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. Whatever is born of the flesh is flesh, and whatever is born of the Spirit is spirit. Don't be surprised that I said to you, 'You must be born anew.' God's Spirit blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you don't know where it comes from or where it is going. It's the same with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said, "How are these things possible?" Jesus answered, "You are a teacher of Israel and you don't know these things? I assure you that we speak about what we know and testify about what we have seen, but you don't receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you don't believe, how will you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has gone up to heaven except the one who came down from heaven, the human one. Just as the Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so must the human one be lifted up, so that everyone who believes will have eternal life. God loved the world in this way, that God gave the only Son, so that anyone and everyone who believes won't perish, but will have eternal life. God didn't send the Son into the world to judge the world, but so that the world might be saved." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. This week's sermon and next week's sermon will go hand in hand and they'll parallel each other. Last week was the temptation narrative. And then we get to John 3, which is this Nicodemus passage. Next week is John 4, which is the woman at the well passage. The week following is John 9, which is the man born blind passage, which is one of my favorites because there's a translation issue that if it gets fixed, helps that passage a lot. Stay tuned in 3 weeks. And then John 11, which is the Lazarus story. And so we kind of jump through John looking at these really encounters of Jesus with individual people, which is a lot of what John is. There's a theory about the book of John that John was written much later than the other Gospels, and that John had some version of Matthew, Mark, or Luke, and that his community had Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And so they were familiar with the Matthew, Mark, Luke stories. We call Matthew, Mark, and Luke the synoptic Gospels because they see it through the same eyes. That's why it's called that. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar, and there's a belief that John and John's community probably had some form of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They knew that story. There's also a theory that John and John's community represent Judean Christians rather than Galilean Christians. And so in Israel at this time, there was kind of a natural north-south divide. Galilee's in the north, and they would have run in their own circles, and Judea is in the south, and they would have run in their own circles. So they developed kind of distinctly, and that John, so this is what I'm getting to, that the book of John may preserve memories that the Judean Christians had that the Galilean Christians didn't have from when Jesus traveled down into and around Judea several times. So John might preserve those Judean southern memories, and John might be filling in the gaps that Matthew, Mark, and Luke kind of left out, because you can only tell so much of the story. And so because they had that, and because they had different memories, John writes John partly, I mean, he states explicitly, so that you will believe in Jesus, but then maybe also to help fill in the story, to make it more full and more rich. And so as we look at these encounters of Jesus with these people, one of the things that might happen for us is that the story might get filled out. We might begin to understand things that we're used to hearing in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, maybe differently from a different angle or something like that. Okay? So that's a super brief overview on John, more than I intended to say. So Nicodemus and the woman at the well, that's this week and next week, John 3 and John 4. Nicodemus and the woman at the well. The reason I'm going to take these two kind of as a pair is because they are virtually opposites, and they happen right next to each other in the story. So Nicodemus has a name. The woman at the well has no name. Nicodemus is a man. She's a woman. He is a Jew, a leader of the Jews. She is a Samaritan, which is technically a different religion and a different kind of ethnic group. Nicodemus is a respected insider. He is a leader. He is one of the elite. And she is actually a shunned outcast. Nicodemus comes to Jesus in the middle of the night. Jesus meets the woman at the well in the middle of the day. He is very stubborn about what Jesus had to say. She is very receptive to what Jesus has to say. He is sophisticated and upper class, and she is basic, middle class, normal. She's actually less than that because she's a shunned outcast, but she would have operated just kind of in the normal population of the world, and he's an elite. Nicodemus seems pretty satisfied with his life, and she is thirsty. There is this beautiful contrast between these two characters. And so this is what we're going to do with them. I'm just going to ask two questions. And part of the reason I'm asking these questions is a lens to look at it, and also is a way maybe to get into your brain so that over the next 2 weeks you can be thinking about these things over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe you'll read these stories and maybe you'll ponder these questions. And the questions are basically, who is God to this person? And how do you relate to this person? Who is God to this person? So Jesus is going to come across and meet several different people. And this might even carry into the third week in John chapter 9 with the man born blind. I haven't gotten that far, so I don't know if I'm going to parallel that one also. But Jesus meets these people, and God presents God's self through Jesus to these specific individuals. So we want to look at who is God to this person? What does God offer this person? And then how might we relate to this person? And I'm going to suggest that there's ways that we can relate to all of these characters. None of us are going to be all Nicodemus or all the woman to the well or all the man born blind or all the disciples or all the bystanders or all the anybody else. But there will be pieces of each of those stories that really match with a piece in us. And so that's what I just want rattling around in our head over the next several weeks. Who is God to this person? And how do I relate to this person? And then that obviously leads into ways that you might be hearing from God. So that's the goal. So what is it that Jesus says to this sophisticated, inside, respected, maybe scared, coming in the middle of the night sort of man? I think that what Jesus says, what Jesus offers to Nicodemus, to this respected, educated, stubborn, scared, middle of the night, satisfied, pretty well-to-do person, Jesus offers a chance to begin again. In this, Jesus is patient, Jesus teaches, Jesus calls, and Jesus offers a new start. I've already talked about how John is a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Another thing that John does is that he writes in a way that's slightly different, though he means the same things. So as Death Cab for Cutie says, it's all different names for the same thing. So in John, in this passage, Jesus says, you must be born again or it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. And we might think to ourselves, what in the world does born again mean? That's what Nicodemus wondered. What in the world does that mean? Do you think I can climb back inside my mother's womb and be born again? That's crazy. You can't do that. So born again. And here's my theory. My theory is that this born again concept is a different name for the same thing that's in the Synoptic Gospels as repent. Because in the Synoptic Gospels, Jesus' summary of the preaching is, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And in John, it is, unless you're born again, it's not possible to enter into the kingdom of God. So what this means is that if we think about the way Jesus talks about being born again, and the word there is intentionally a dual meaning for John. In Greek, that word can mean again or from above. Same word, two different meanings. And I think the intention is to hear them both at the same time. The born again, be born again, and be born from above, and to hear that all at once. So when Jesus talks about being born again in this, it can help us understand repentance even more. So I rewrote that part of this passage using repent language instead of the Johannine born anew, be born again language, and this is how it sounds. Listen to this. Jesus answered, I assure you that unless someone repents, it is not possible to see God's kingdom. And Nicodemus asked, how is it possible for an adult to start over? It's impossible to begin life all over again, isn't it? And Jesus answered, I assure you that unless someone turns from their own ways to God's ways, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. If you live your own life, it's your own life. If you live for God, it is God's life that lives and flows through you. Don't be surprised that I said to you, you must repent and begin life all over again. God's Spirit blows wherever she wishes. You hear her sound, but you don't know where she comes from or where she is going. And it's the same way with everyone who is born of the Spirit or who starts their life anew in God. What Jesus is offering, this stubborn, well-to-do, this man who had all the privileges, he's offering this person set in their ways a new beginning, a way to start again. When we come to this passage, I want us to hear, how are we like Nicodemus, coming at night, maybe scared, pretty set in our ways, and then to hear the way God presents to such a person, an offer to begin again. And you say, how can somebody so old start all over? And Jesus says, because with God you can do it. The Spirit of God does what she wishes, including to give you and me brand new life. So, in the coming week, ponder and think, how do you see yourself in Nicodemus? How do you hear this offer of God to you, offering you a new start? And what that might mean. I can't imagine what it might mean for you, but there is the offer, to be born from above, to repent, to start over, whichever of those words you want. But that is the call and the offer and the gift to us when we might be like Nicodemus. Lord God, thank you for the story that John wrote, for the memories that he and his community preserved. Thank you that the Spirit blows wherever she wishes. And God, we ask that you would allow the Spirit to blow strongly in our hearts and minds and lives, in our church, in our denomination, that we can begin again and start over and stop being stubborn in ways we might be stubborn. Stop being filled up with ourselves so that we might be thirsty for you instead. God, do all these things in us and through us, partly that we might have life, the life that you offer to us, and partly that your life that you desire for the world might flow through us to those around us. We ask all of this in your name, the name of the living God who gives life and who gives us fresh starts, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen.